Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
I'm glad you found something positive.
Yes.
Five hits.
Because, you know, he's going to watching Jacoby Brissett just get hit play after play. He's only been sacked twice, but it's the accumulation of all the other hits.
Five hits, ten
told.
Pressures.
Yeah. So, makes sense to just, you know, let that young guy, Drake, make it and walk through.
Wow. At this point now, they just want to leave the old man in there to continue to take the biblical beating. That's Michael Strahan on Fox today saying, leave Brissett in there. Now, he, of course, played for the Giants, roots for the Giants. Let's see how the Giants are doing right now. The Giants are currently... Oh, no, they just took the lead 17-10 over the Seahawks. How about that? That one, I should have known that one was ripe for Upset City. Anyway...
17 points? Wait, you're allowed to score 17 points in one game?
In one whole game.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And Andy, guess what? There was a game that two teams did that.
Son of a beach.
Yeah, I know. Actually, the Colts and Jaguars put up 71 points combined today.
What?
The Ravens and the Bengals put up 79.
What? How many games would it take the Patriots to score 79?
If we keep this up, it's going to take two more weeks. Cumulatively. What is the record, by the way, Joe Braverman, while we do our talking radio show host thing, and once again, this is Nero Pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Andy Jumbo Hart with producer Joe Braverman on the Six Rings Postgame Show, live here on WEEI, our fabulous WEEI network of affiliates, the Odyssey app, and WEEI.com. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. What is the all-time record for the lowest scoring team in the NFL history?
I could not tell you.
I think
great
you
analysis,
to look it
Joe.
Up.
Thank you. So you look it up while we. I gotta think.
Look, what was I supposed to do with that 3 seconds of silence? Let dead air just float through the radio station.
Or you could just say, "I'll look efforting to find it."
Fewest.
Okay,
points.
That's probably better.
There you go. The season in NFL. People.
I don't know, Fitzy. Back to you.
Yeah, I don't know. Back to you. Who knows? All right. Well, you know what? This is impossible. Record.
Well, we also get the issue of in how many games? A 14-game season, a 16-game season, a 17-game season.
Yeah, there's all that nonsense, too. All I know is the Patriots' offense sucks.
Stinks.
It's really not good right now.
And the only solution is Drake.
The question of the day, of course, is out to you for the remainder of the program. Are you going to continue to watch? Are you going to listen? Are you going to spend all the time you do as a Patriots fan and or including up to and through the game each and every week now that you know this is probably what you're going to continue to get with Jacoby Brissett under center? Back to the phones we go, Andy. Mac is in Connecticut. What's up, Mac?
My brother, Fitzy, how are you?
Oh, you were there today, the call sheet says, my guy.
Yes, I was. I was there with my father. And we were all calling for Drake May the entire game. But I had a quick question. As far as the Fox crew goes, what happened to Tom Brady calling the game?
He was moved to a real game. He was moved to a real game.
Oh, okay.
A real NFL game.
Okay. Gotcha. The other thing, I figured that. The other thing is that we were all saying, fundamentals. I mean, this team can't just line up right. They can't do anything right. And to me, that comes down to coaching. I mean, I thought last year was bad with, you know, all the penalties, but this year is atrocious. And that has to come down to discipline. And I don't know what they're doing in practice, but whatever they're doing obviously is not working. And Drake May needs to get out there. He needs to get his feet wet. I mean, we can't continue to watch this bad product. And I don't understand how long it's going to take for Robert Kraft say something and pull the leash and say, guys, we can't watch this anymore. Let's get the number 3 pick out there and see what the kid can do.
Thank you for the call, Mark. Safe home, buddy. Appreciate the time. When do you think, all right, so the weather probably will be good next Sunday as well. So you may get one more week of, let's go have a tailgate. Let's go watch the game. It's going to be beautiful outside. Then we start exiting apple picking season. We get out of cider donut season. We get closer to Halloween, the season of the witch. And then Next thing you know, it's daylight savings and it's getting darker and people just start getting lazier and more sedentary and it's, now I got to bring extra layers. Do I feel like buying hand warmers for the game this week? I'll just give my tickets to the kids, blah, blah. It was mostly full today, but can we count on it being mostly full next week or for weeks to come and or until Drake May plays, Andy?
No, I don't think you can. And just looking at it, I still believe they would prefer to have Drake May make his first start at Gillette Stadium. So obviously you have next week against the Texans.
Nope.
Then you go to London to face the Jaguars. And obviously that's not Gillette Stadium.
Her Majesty's Royal Jaguars.
Now, some people might say, could that be a friendly landing spot in front of that weird crowd? You're not on the road. You're not at home. I don't know.
Yeah, why did they get? Why do the good people at Wembley deserve Drake May's first start? I don't think they do.
And then you're against the Jets when you come back home. Do you want him to play against the Jets? I don't know. Then you're at Titans, at Bears. So you start to have a couple road games. I just don't know the mentality.
Rams game all the way to like late. Really?
I hope not. Wasn't that a game that was circled as a potential statue game too? The Rams game?
Yeah.
That's the
Rams' first team that Brady ever beat for a Super Bowl.
I'll be honest, I don't want Tom Brady looking down on Drake May literally and figuratively for his NFL debut. I don't think that's a good narrative. You can talk yourself, I guess, into a million reasons when and why you should start him. Getting back to the penalties, I like Jerod Mayo. Mm-hmm. But there is no doubt, I'm sorry, Jerod, when a team is as undisciplined and sloppy as your football team is, there is a direct connection to the head coach. Fair or not, that's what we do, right? We look at the, pick a team, and you'd say, oh, the Raiders, wow, they had 17 penalties. That's what you get when you put an ex-player like Antonio Pierce in charge. They're not disciplined. They're sloppy.
Yeah, classic Raiders football.
Right,
always
exactly. So that has to be tied to whatever they're doing or not doing. I'm sorry. That's on Jerod Mayo. That's the reality that comes with that job. And it's not just holding calls. Because I think you could argue if they had a bunch of holding calls, you know why they'd be getting holding calls? Because the linemen stink and they can't block them, so they end up holding them. Mm-hmm. But when Hunter Henry is false starting with the game on the line, basically lined up as a wide receiver, or delay a game on a punt, or 12 men on the field, by the way, not a rookie, Josh Uche was out there, so it's a veteran player who's been doing it for 5 years now. That's unacceptable because, the whole control, the things you can control? You can control those things. You can control having the right number of players on the field, getting the snap off before the clock, not false starting. You can't control some of the other stuff, and you're never going to be able to control it this year. So that's exacerbating the situation, and that falls directly in the lap of the head coach. We did it to Bill the last 3 or 4 years. You and I were ahead of the curve on that, six rings, because we'd hear all these national post-game shows or halftime shows. Wow, these Patriots are uncharacteristically sloppy on special teams or uncharacteristically.
That became the norm, yeah.
Exact, and that we blamed Bill. That falls on the head coach's shoulders, the coach's shoulders. This falls on Mayo, it has to.
Unreal. Paul's in Quincy. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are you tonight? How you doing?
We're hanging in there, my friend.
Not too bad. It's my belief that the coach should put the best player that allows you to win the game out there. And I don't want to hear about injuries. You can get hurt in any play in any game. So I think it's time to put Drake May out. Now, I won't blame Jacoby Brissett. He is what we thought he was going to be. He's a backup quarterback, and I'm going to give him some praise. He knows he's a sacrificial lamb. But he's out there giving his all, and he's not complaining about it. He's being a good trooper, but it's time. I mean, you've seen it today. He can't make a read. I think Drake May is more escapable. I think he can make reads. I think it's time now. It's not really Jacoby Brissett's fault. We have an offensive line that can't stop a nosebleed. But I think the time is now. And like that guy said, Bob Kraft should get involved soon. Bob or Jonathan eventually should stand up and say enough is enough.
And thank you very much, Paul. And you know what's going to happen?
They are who we thought they were.
Yep.
And now we're on the hook.
1-16 is in play.
The reason why I talk about the seats and I talk about attendance and I talk about the secondary market for ticket prices is that is ultimately where that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. That's where the blank is going to hit the fan for ownership. If they see like another season where before Christmas Eve, or before the true wintry mixed weather. They start seeing empty seats. They can feel palpable disdain or at least apathy towards the team from the fan base yet again. The season ticket renewals start dwindling a little bit. Like, they're going to be frustrated. There's going to be some resonant frustration and disappointment from ownership. And what are you supposed to do at that point? Yell at Gerard Mayo, like, coach better. All right, he can try to improve. He's only 5 games into his coaching career. You guys picked him, for God's sakes. Get better players. You guys handpicked Elliot Wolf to be executive vice president of player personnel. What do you want out of these people?
I've said all along, I do believe they probably had a plan, and it might be slow play it and all these things. Mm-hmm. But having the appetite for that plan in July, when you haven't lost any games yet, when you haven't had frustrating days at Gillette Stadium, when you haven't been embarrassed in San Francisco or New York, having an appetite for a slow play with Drake May in the summer is easy. Having an appetite for it in October, when you're 1-4 and you're playing some of the worst football that anyone has ever seen this team play, certainly in the last 30-plus years, the appetite might change, and the impetus to get Drake May in there and salvage the energy of Patriot Nation and salvage, you know, the care. Now, I would almost give them credit, quite honestly, if they stick to their guns and say, damn it, we decided we're not playing him until he's ready and until the team's ready, and we're not going to break from that. Because I think a lot of teams regret breaking free from plans in other sports and other teams and other cities. But I also think it's really hard to do because everybody's calling for Drake May and everybody thinks that's what you should do. And to go against that, you really got to stand on your own 2 feet.
Nice long touchdown pass for the Packers to Tucker Kraft, one of those young tight ends. Remember when we probably should have gotten one of those?
Yep.
Oh, look, the Mets took the lead because they've got heart and spirit. How about that?
You're looking for other entertainment in sports.
I'm just checking my Twix feed right now, and there's all these other things to get excited about. I just want to know what I'm supposed to get until I see Drake May play.
The draft.
And again, the fan mix, as I said on the pregame show, walking around talking to fans, it's pretty split. And if I'm wrong, please call in and let me know at 617-779-7937. But it feels, from online, from at the tailgates, life IRL, and our phone calls, so I think we're getting more calls about people wanting to see Drake May. But otherwise, I feel like it's kind of a split. You know, season's already lost. I don't want to get the kid killed. You know, are bad habits going to be developed because he's running for his life the whole time? Or does he make plays? And then we say, well, why did I have to watch those 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games of water torture before of getting like emotionally waterboarded by this team before putting May in? Like, we could have been much more dynamic from Jump Street.
Or just get experience that will benefit him and the team next year when you may be more competitive in terms of overall talent.
All right, we'll cliffhang you on that one, audience. You guys think about it. When we come back, more of your calls. We'll get to the thumbs down list. Maybe we'll even hear from our pal Mego, who was down at Gillette Stadium today. I've got friends that are actually on the way home from the game right now texting me saying, you're wrong. Nobody wants to see any more Jacoby Brissett. All right, folks, at least it's good to know that you guys are listening. I appreciate that very much. But first, let's catch you up on everything else going on in games that are slightly more exciting and fulfilling than the one we watched today. This is Trending Now with Joe Braverman.
Look, obviously a very disappointing game. There's no question, like, we're tough, but we just have to be better from an execution standpoint. We got to be able to execute in situations. We got to be able to execute on a play-by-play basis, and we didn't do that. I would also say, as the game wore on, our fundamentals began to slip, and that could be a combination of things. But, look, we'll watch the film with a critical eye, and we just got to put a better team on.
5 games in, and Gerard Mayo was already basically just regurgitating a lot of the same platitudes and excuses that we've been hearing for the last couple of weeks. Like, is he already out of ammo? I hear everything about we got to watch the film. There's a lot of talk about going back to looking in a mirror, Andy. Is it really that simple? Like, I feel like there's got to be more to it. Like, what if he just came out and said, like, yeah, I got to be honest. I don't think we're not very good. We're just going to.
That could come because he's going to break. I give him credit. So? I think he's doing a pretty good job. We're only a third of the way through the season. Not even, right?
1-4, we're not.
Not even a third
we're
of the way through the season.
5 games in with 12 to go.
This ain't pressure yet. This isn't, you know, the kind of pressure that creates diamonds or crushes everything.
Including souls.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and dead serious, like it's going to get worse before it gets better. And no one knows how they're going to handle that. I couldn't do it. I don't know about you. I literally couldn't do it. And I'm not even just talking about the NFL level. Can you imagine being in that situation where just loss after loss and everything is critical and everybody wants you out of your job and everybody thinks everything you do sucks and the plan is stupid. And he's a competitor. Forget the outside criticism. He's a competitor. He played for the Patriots. He won. He coached for the Patriots. He won for the most part. Like, I don't know how you don't end up with ulcers and how you don't
lose your hair, age, yeah, gain weight, yeah, all that stuff that we all talk about for presidential photos. You know, it's interesting. Up in the Cross Insurance Club today on the Chalk Talk pregame show for the fans, we had Rob Ninkovich and Marv Cook, the old tight end from 89 to 93 on the Patriots.
Yep.
Was a very productive career. Had a couple of
Pro Bowl all tight pro end.
Mixed. Yeah, he was very good. Yeah. And I asked them that question as well. And Marv Cook said, you know, he kind of leaned on the whole, like, you know, well, we're professionals. You know, we get paid too. You play for pride. You just because the team stinks. But then Ninkovich kind of went into, you know, at the end of the day, we're all you know, even though we play for a team and you want to have team pride, the way that modern sports has gone, we've all become independent contractors. And that has spilled into the college game now with the NILs and kids making more money in college than they do sometimes their rookie year. And that's, you know, made things a mess. And Ninkovich went in on how that he thinks the college game sucks now because of that. And it's affecting that, which then has a corollary effect on the pro game. But he said, you know, you basically can't not ever go out and try your best, no matter how much it stinks to play on a lousy team full of mistakes with no hope and no postseason optimism, because you could get kicked to the curb 1 minute. You could get traded away someplace where they have no use for you, just get cut. And next thing you know, you had millions on the horizon, and instead, you're out on the street.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody intends to not give it their all or intends to be sort of crushed or beaten down by the losing and by the environment. I just think it kind of happens. And I just think you never know even what the examples or the visuals of it are, whether it's kind of giving up a step late. Like, for example, today, I think it was Nick Leverett on the 33-yard touchdown run by Ramondre Stevenson, followed him all the way to the end zone. He didn't really do anything, but he sprinted. He's a lineman. He sprinted all the way to the end zone.
That was great to see. It was exciting.
Is he going to be doing that in 3 weeks, or is another lineman doing that in 3 weeks when they're 1-7 at that point? And it's like, you're not going to necessarily know he didn't sprint, but deep down somewhere in his body, he'll know he didn't sprint and doesn't want to sprint and doesn't want to go above and beyond the call of duty. And I just, it's a beastly world, professional football, when you're losing the types of games they're losing and the number of games they are likely to lose over the next few months.
Dan is in Rhode Island. He joins the Six Rings postgame show. What's up, Danny?
Sad trombone silo king. It's pretty depressing.
Honest to God.
He used to be breaking down silos. Now he's going to build one around himself. That's where we're at. So, yeah. But, you know, he's a good guy. I had the same theme last week. I can't get away from one thing. Like, Kraft, I'm putting this on Kraft, and I'm going to leave it there, because I think it's so preposterous to say that I was on a trip to Israel 5 years ago, and that's where I knew I had my next head coach. And he was going to stay true to that no matter how long it took, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, we're not factoring in anything about his qualifications. It's just his character. Forget about the football part of it. He's just a character guy that I want leading my men. Forget about everything else. And it's just the Crafts are an inept organization around. The Patriots are an inept organization. And what I feel like is, I think I said this last week when I talked to Fitz, like Drake May is going to be Justin Herbert, meaning he's good. He's going to show he's good, but he's going to be surrounded by ineptness, i.e. like the Chargers have surrounded him now, until they brought in Jim Harbaugh, who hopefully can straighten things out there. But he's going to be a good player. But I think between the coaching staff, the player personnel, the ownership, this is one inept organization and has been one since Tom Brady left. And it's been proven even worse now that Belichick is gone. This team is doomed for years. I hate to be – until things change and they just bring in, like, a proven organizational guy who can get things running the way things need to be done, like a Sean McVay, something like that, this organization isn't going anywhere.
I appreciate the call, Dan. Those are his feelings, and he's not the only one who feels that way in particular. There is a high degree of fatalism in that caller's opinion, and Dan's one of our favorite listeners here at WEI. But, you know, when you go back to the whole idea of, like, Gerard Mayo, like, I knew I wanted him to be the leader of our team. Okay, but, yeah, obviously now he'd been coaching, so he had some coaching credential to...
No, he hadn't.
But he'd been sort of coaching.
No.
Assistant coaching.
No.
Defensive assistanting.
No.
What was he out there? Just a figurehead on the sideline next to Covington and Belichick?
When Robert made the decision, he hadn't coached a single game yet.
When he made the decision, yes. Okay, to that degree, yes. No, he's had some coaching.
Now he has, but yes. Robert made the decision before he had seen Gerard Mayo make it through a single training camp, a single game, a single season. He made the decision based on his leadership qualifications and who he was as a man and all that, which I'm actually might be fine with. To me, the disservice was the staff that was built around him. Alex Van Pelt has never run an offense before, and you're going to let him run the offense? DeMarcus Covington's never run a defense before, and you're going to let him run the defense? So, if you
really
truly...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If you truly believe Gerard Mayo is a great leader of men and, like, the CEO of the organization, because CEOs bounce around, right? You see the CEO goes from, like, Netflix to Band-Aid, or, like, I'm just using extreme examples, but, like, they know how to lead corporations. They don't necessarily know the specifics of the industry they're taking over, right? Mm-hmm. And... if you think Gerard Mayo is that, then the next guys below him need to know the specifics, need to be the proven guys. I just think it was a sort of disastrous mix to bring in Alex Van Pelt, who hadn't called plays in the NFL in 15 years, to architect an offense. And DeMarcus Covington, who'd never called plays in the NFL and hadn't been a defensive coordinator since Eastern Illinois. There's just a lack of experience on the entirety of this staff. And I think the structure that was put in place was... rickety, and that may be why they're teetering.
If you want Gerard Mayo to be the leader of your team, like you say, in a CEO-like capacity, wouldn't it have made a lot of sense, perhaps? Maybe he's more of a, like, maybe Mayo would thrive in Elliot Wolf's position, if you will, or in, like, a slightly different position where he's in, like, he's an advisor to the coach, he helps out, maybe he helps out make personnel decisions. Like Brad Stevens, good basketball coach, has turned out to be a phenomenal president of basketball operations.
Yep.
Maybe Gerard Mayo, look, maybe Gerard Mayo is an excellent coach. We won't be able to fully judge him so long as he's given the time, if and until he gets the horses he needs to be a good team. Because with an inferior product, no matter what kind of chef you think Gerard Mayo is, right now what's coming out of his kitchen is dog food.
Yep.
It ain't great. So... I think that puts a, this is a good point by you, and I'd like to end one off of that, which would be, if you're hiring a first-time coach who you believe has the emotional width, breadth, if you will, and the intellect and the experience to be a leader of men, great. That puts a grander impetus on the hiring of your coordinators. You probably shouldn't have gone into it. No disrespect to DeMarcus Covington, who people say is a rising star in the defensive coaching ranks in the NFL. No disrespect to Alex Van Pelt. People love them interpersonally, some AVP. But maybe, just maybe, you should have gotten the absolute damn best, finest, most experienced superstar, locked down, hands down, unbelievable coordinators so that Gerard Mayo had a little less on his plate. Because now, well, like you said, we teetering.
The example would be when Bum Phillips, Wade Phillips, Wade went with Sean McVay to L.A. And it was like, well, Sean McVay has an expertise, but he's going to need somebody strong on the other side of the ball. Gerard Mayo doesn't really have an expertise right now. He's not running the defense, calling the defense really on that side. So you could make a strong argument he needed at least one strong coordinator, if not two, and he doesn't have either. He has guys that are learning on the fly, and that doesn't mean they stink. That doesn't mean that Alex Van Pelt might not be down the road a good offensive coordinator, or DeMarcus Covington might not be down the road a good defensive coordinator. But right now, I think they, like so much of this team, is just trying to stay afloat. And some of it is talent-based, and some of it is experience-based, and some of it's circumstantial. And a little bit more stability or experience, right, to pull from. DeMarcus Covington, it might be like Mike Vrabel's an example, not as the head coach. I know a lot of people keep throwing out Vrabel should have been the head coach. Okay, that's a separate argument that we could have on a different day. But what if Vrabel were the defensive coordinator? He would have more experience to pull from through struggles and things to, you know, okay, guys, we're fine. We just need to, like, DeMarcus Covington, not his fault, doesn't have that. He didn't call the plays. The guy who called the plays last year is now calling the plays quite successfully for the University of Washington.
Nice win for them last night, by the way.
Right. And the guy who architected the defense is, at that game, cheering on his son call the plays for the University of Washington. So the two highest-ranking dogs in the Patriots defense are gone, and the entire offense has been turned over to Alex Van Pelt. It's just, for a first-year coach with limited experience, it on paper was set up to fail, and through five games, it's failing.
Let's see, we got Seth down in Jersey. What's up, Seth?
Hey, good evening, guys. First of all, Fitzy, publicly, I have to thank you for being one of two people who saved my life back in July. I talked to Andy on the Fourier show one day when he was filling in, but you were part of that too.
Oh my gosh, I've never had a chance to connect with you. It is an honor and a pleasure to finally speak with you, Seth.
Yes.
I'm sure Andy told you that story.
He did.
So anyway, thank you.
I took all the credit, Seth, just so you know. When I told him, I took all the credit.
So down here in South Jersey, I was unable to watch the game, so I was listening to the radio broadcast.
Lucky you.
You really are one of the lucky ones.
Yep. Yep. And you know, I can't tell you how much pain I heard in Zolak's voice. And at one point, it happened twice during the game. The first time, though, when the official put time back on the clock, Zolak was like, no, don't add time to this mess. Run off some time.
Yep,
that's how bad this game was. But I just want to say also that
yes,
the quality of NFL football right now is not good. And there's some great baseball being played right now. And hockey starts in 2 days. So all is not lost if you're a sports fan. You guys have a great night.
Seth, and we thank you for the call. Seth. And we are very happy to have played an important role in your life. For those who don't know, were we filling in, Andy, or was it a Six Rings pod?
I believe it was a Saturday show or a weekend show.
And he took the podcast edition available on the Odyssey app with him. And if he hadn't had his phone with him when he had a cardiac issue, perhaps Seth would not be here with us to this day to listen to this miserable game today and then call his favorite post-game show. But because he did, because we were with him on that particular day, because he couldn't miss an episode of Fitzy and Hart, Seth is here with us, and we're glad he's in good health, and hopefully the New England Patriots don't finally do him or the rest of us in, but it seems like they are hell-bent on doing just that as well. I can tell you, you know, as I've detailed before, my Sundays involve a whole lot of driving, a lot of studio time, I'm at the stadium, et cetera, this and that, and I have to sometimes keep up with the game as well by listening to a bit of the radio broadcast, and I can, yes, and, or rather second the emotion of our previous caller, Seth, by saying at one point, Scott Zolak did say, hey, great first half, 85 yards, three first downs. And that feels generous. Like when the people that have been watching this game that care so much about it, whose livelihoods are based around it, are you can actually hear their sanity fraying just a little bit. That should be a telltale sign that more than just small change is needed. I'm not talking about lump sum wholesale change already. We went through that back in January when the Thunder Buddy Society and the Wolf of Ball Street and company were brought in to the mix. But something's got to give here. Like, I just can't, even if they decide, you know what, we don't want to do any, we're going to hold on to Drake May for as long as possible. You can't keep telling your fans, you with a straight face, that Jacoby Brissett gives you the best chance to win, and that this is the best foot forward. This is the best foot to put forward in an effort to win football games. Just come out and say, We're just going to get through the season, try to get as many picks as possible. Just be honest with us, please. Is that, am I asking too much?
You're probably asking too much. And I think they're tiptoeing through it. I think they've been honest. When Gerard Mayo said before training camp, we're going to measure success with wins and losses, but not necessarily this year or something to that effect. This year, the wins will come, whether it's this year or next. I think he was telling you that there, this was a two-year plan. This was a two-year build. And, you know, if they stick with that, good for them. I hope it truly works out because I am not jumping ship on the two-year plan. Andy Hart is very much in on the two-year plan. I firmly still believe this can be turned around relatively quickly with high draft picks, right many money spent, and things of that nature, assuming that you already hit on one of those. If you didn't hit on Drake May, then the turnaround ain't happening.
Oh, then the crap storm is...
Yeah, then the crap storm is at hand. You're all fired to get out and we'll start over again.
617-779-7937 is your number. We still got plenty more calls to get to. We'll take a quick peek at what next week offers as the Houston Texans, 4-1, and a leading contender for top team in the AFC, come to town to take on your Patriots in another 1 o'clock affair. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Actually, no, Andy, I'm sorry. Contractually, I'm thumbs supposed down. To say it's only thumbs down. We do have the Cars for Kids player of the game, and of course, all of this is brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. The Six Rings postgame show rolls on in moments here on WEEI.
His progress has been steady in all the areas that we've really talked about. Footwork, understanding what he's looking at with defenses, and really where he's made strides over the last couple of weeks. Michael is in blitz situations, and this is going to be huge because that's a big part of what the Patriots are getting thrown at them right now with their offensive line issue. I'm told he is closing in now on being the best quarterback on the team. And so what does this mean going forward? Well, you know, players can tell and see the drumbeat for where this is going. I think what this is going to come down to now is when he does wind up passing Jacoby Brissett and other people can see that he's the best quarterback on the team, is the team ready to support him? I still think, you know, Drake May becoming the starter at some point in November is very much on the table. I've told you guys for a few weeks now, the expectation is that he's going to start at some point this season. And again, that little piece of progress dealing with the blitz in practice, it's been a big area of progress the last couple of weeks, and certainly an area that they're going to need him to be good in if they're going to put him out there on the field based on what they have in front of them.
Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated speaking earlier this morning on NBC Sports Boston about Drake May. The latest bit of positive news that we've gotten on the status, the progress, the growth of Drake May as he continues to practice preparing for his moment, whenever that comes, is taking over as QB1 of the NEP, which many think should be now, should come as soon as possible. And there are those who say, don't put him out there behind this line. That the disservice that was done to the franchise and to the franchise-to-be that is Drake May, or so we hope, was done in the offseason when the Patriots seemed to roundly ignore the offensive line or at least think that the tackle position would solve itself. Spoiler alert, it didn't. Back to the phones we go, Andy. Brian is in Florida. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Well, you know, a lot of us remember the last time the Pats had a top draft pick quarterback sitting waiting to play, and that was Drew Bledsoe. And I think this is a very different situation. Drew was a fully formed 23-year-old coming off a really successful college career, coming into a team with the Patriots that had Bill Parcells and a coaching staff that knew what it was doing. Mm-hmm. And I think the people that are excited about Drake May playing this year, I get it. But this guy's not going to turn this team around. He was the quarterback for an eighth-place ACC team last year. He couldn't make the difference in the Duke's Mayo Bowl last year, let alone in the NFL. That's a second or third tier condiment. Patriots are a second or third tier team. Maybe that should be the official mayonnaise, you know, of the New England Patriots. But I know that Drake May is not coming in and making a difference for us this year. This thing is a mess from top to bottom. And, you know, whether he plays or not doesn't make a difference. So I hope people aren't getting their hopes up.
Appreciate the call, bud.
Disagree strongly.
I know, and see, but like if people are already there, if there's a portion of the fan base that are resigned to, like, don't play him. Why? Because you think he's going to get hurt? Nah, it's such a mess, I wouldn't want to screw with the kid's head.
Okay,
that's,
I mean,
that's their reality. It's their opinion.
Or he plays, he gets experience, he competes, and it benefits him in the long run. It maybe even benefits the team in the short run. I'm not saying Drake May comes in and you're suddenly making a push for the playoffs. I'm talking about him competing, him putting his body on the line, yes, but him putting his athleticism and his ability out there and seeing what happens. I just think that's what sports are. I can't really think of, like, what are the examples of guys that did this in this way? Not, I don't want to hear about Mahomes or Love or Rodgers or any of those guys, but a guy that just flat out wasn't ready, but then 3 months later was ready, or a year later was ready. Like, Trey Lance wasn't ready, and I think we found out Trey Lance wasn't ready and may never be ready, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of examples of guys that, oh my God, they were so raw, they were so inexperienced, they weren't ready.
How many games did he start, like 10 or so before COVID hit?
Oh, yeah, and he was basically a running back. He never right. threw the ball, he ran all over the field.
Running back that threw deep yeah. balls.
Yeah, no, it was, so I just, to me, it's starting to go down the road of misevaluation, and Drake May really isn't that good. If you're that fearful of Drake May playing, then maybe Drake May's not that good, and he doesn't have the skills that I think he has. I still think he has the skills. I think he has the ability to go out there and compete. And will there be tough times? Yeah. You know how I know that? Because there's tough times right now, and I think you could put Tom Brady out there and there'd be tough times. I think you could put Patrick Mahomes out there and there'd be tough times. But isn't playing quarterback about dealing with tough times for most people? Like, it's not always going to be perfect. You're going to be asked to look at Josh Allen. He's shouldering the load in Buffalo, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's part of your arc, career arc, story arc, narrative arc as a quarterback. There's going to be ups and downs and protection and talent and comes and goes and injuries. I just think if he's the guy, he's the guy. And if he's that ill-prepared to play, it's starting to make me wonder if he's the guy and I was wrong about him and he's not that good. He's not Herbert and Allen.
Here's your sports headline at the Boston Globe right now. Sloppy loss to the Dolphins is another poor reflection on Patriots coach Gerard Mayo. So Mayo catching some strays from the Globe. How about
I don't think that's a stray. I think that's a intended bullet.
It is. Actually, catching heat, catching a yeah. dart, some smoke from the Globe. Don't say I disagree. And then over at WEEI.com, our pal Mego, who I'll be on with tomorrow evening from 6 to 7:30 on the WEEI evening program, following, of course, the award-winning WEEI afternoon show with Arcan and Hart. Mego's headline sums it up for me perfectly. It's
we
hard
suck.
To find... Yeah. Oh, no, we really suck again. Mego's headline, it's hard to find joy in this Patriots rebuild. I mean, I've asked the question on social. I've asked it on our show. I've asked it on other programs. How TF, are aside from May, are you going to make this fun again? Polk almost did today, but...
But even that, in my opinion, mm-hmm. would have had more value. A play that didn't count
yep.
because of a rule that apparently no one knew because mm-hmm. Mike Reese had to do a pool report, which stuns me that many people didn't know the rule that we now have to do pool reports on obvious rules. Mm-hmm. But... even that play that didn't count, wouldn't you have felt better about that play not counting if Drake May was throwing it to Jalen Polk? Like, it's part of the experience, and they're building something, and maybe in a year, the throw or the route is a little bit better. Like, everything to me is better with Drake May playing. Everything to me feels better and mm-hmm. is better with Drake May playing. And until you get to that, there will be no joy in either Mudville or Foxborough.
Unbelievable. Last call of the hour, Andy. We go to one of our favorites. Oh, there's more. Jeez, there's more calls. The people love us, Andy. Either that or they really hate their team. Or both. Let's wrap this hour with our old pal, Jake, who somehow finds the strength and the time all the way halfway around the world in Australia to take in the Pats and then call in the Six Rings post game. Hi, Jake.
Good morning again.
Good day, mate.
I'm glad I slept through my alarm and didn't wake up to watch that game this morning.
It was awful.
You are one of the lucky ones, friend.
You should have fought a kangaroo instead.
That would have been more fun, that's for sure.
Yep. Mm.
But what's the market over there for Drake May throwing his first touchdown to Kendrick Bourne, because I feel like that's going to be Kendrick Bourne's first touchdown, which could be the end of the season or even next year, by the sounds of it.
Well, hopefully sooner rather than later, but Albert Breer, who we just talked to, is leaving the month of November open for that possibility. I would... Chopping wood or walking in
some heavy footsteps.
on some gravel.
How nice.
That's what I feel like I was dragged across today watching that game, Jake.
Barefoot and on fire.
Yes.
Go ahead, friend.
And then the coaching too. Like, they're talking about May not being ready. Is it stuff we can't see behind the scenes? Like, they're not giving May his structure of offense to run, and they're trying to force feed AVPs down him, or just a heap of little things. Like, yeah, how long is a piece of string sort of situation?
Yeah, it just keeps unraveling, Jake. And thanks for the call, friend. Enjoy your Monday, which you are well onto. And thank goodness you didn't set that alarm and missed that game. But please do not have any survivor's guilt, because you didn't miss that much.
Plus, you live in Australia, and that seems cool.
It's any place can be great if you make it or not.
Gillette Stadium between 1 and 4 today was not great.
A little less great, going to be honest. Probably.
How are you going to make that great?
I'm looking for someone to tell me how they're going to make it great again.
Drake May. I already told you the solution is Drake May. It's a solution that everybody wants, except for the few people that have been brainwashed into thinking that it can't be good, that it can't go well, even though I'm watching Jaden Daniels, and I'm watching Caleb Williams, and I'm watching Bo Nix. I'm watching guys compete and try to make plays or even make plays or play at a high level. You have to learn. I still go back to the head coach's words from his press conference tonight. Why does he get to learn and gain experience and get better on the fly when most people think he wasn't prepared? He was not prepared for the job he's in. But he gets to figure it out on the fly, and I know his job doesn't involve people trying to kill him and physically harm him, but Drake May's not ready. He doesn't get to learn on the fly. He doesn't get to gain experience. He doesn't get to get better week to week. It's becoming annoying.
Legitimately is, and I feel like we're watching the equivalent of a football broken record every week, and it's just going to continue. Yep. It's going to continue to deflate and depress fans until you give them some hope. Rebellions are built on hope. You need to give the people a spark, something. Just like, even next year, I'll leave you with this, Andy. Depending on how much longer they sit with May, are they going to give him an effective enough body of rookie work?
Nope.
That you'll be able to turn to prospective free agents and other players and say, "Hey, come to Foxborough. We got a little something going with this kid here now. Come on, you want to be part of the next big thing? Come to Foxborough."
That's part of the problem. He won't be ready to jump into the fancy car next year and drive because he hasn't gained the experience. That's part of my calculus in this whole thing. People continue to underestimate the value of Drake May playing. It may not go well, but it may pay massive dividends down the road as soon as 2025. But if you don't do that, or he only gets a couple games of mop-up duty late in the year, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to be ready. I don't think he's going to be experienced enough. I hate the whole thing.
617-779-7937 is your number. One more break, a supersized break of Six Rings and Football Things. We take a look at next week. We wrap things up with thumbs down, player of the game, and everything else. All brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy. It's Braverman, it's Fitzy, it's Hart, it's you. It's the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. Well, well, well. Would you look at this? Arizona Cardinals look poised to upset the San Francisco 49ers. What were they, like a 10-point dog on the road? How about that?
Division game.
Oh, yeah, division game. That's right.
Division games are always weird.
They are.
That's where you get your upsets. That's where you can get some of
As
those.
As Paul from Rhode Island eloquently put it.
Yes, he always puts everything
hard to make
eloquently.
Hard to make your bread, hard to make your cash.
Yes. No, I always am hesitant of wanting to gamble on division games because they seem so obvious sometimes, and then they go so sideways so easily.
Wow.
But I'll tell you what I will bet on. The Denver Broncos having the best uniforms in the National Football League today.
Oh, are they in the old Broncos ones with the orange?
And the blue and the orange, and oh, they're
the so... The Elways with the D with the horse and the...
So nice. Oh,
those are clean. That's as the kids like to say, that's a fire fit.
Yes, That's one of that with the Chargers baby blues. That's up there of some of my favorite uniforms.
Oh, I think the Chargers baby blues with the bolt on the helmet are the goat. I think those
are pretty sweet. But I'm an orange guy. And when you give me orange and blue and put it together with a big old Bronco.
Wow, the Cardinals upset the Niners. Look at that. Look at that. Broncos taking it to the Raiders. The Giants up with 2 minutes left out in Seattle. A lot of wins pools. A lot of parlays are probably blowed up now after the Cardinals. But see, any given week, division game. And it was such a good start to the Boston Sports Sunday today, too, Andy. You had the news of Jeremy Swayman and his 8-year, $66 million extension to be the goaltender of the now and the long-term future of the Bruins. Then the Jets lose the morning affair at Tottenham Hotspur. Stephon Gilmore, Gilly locks it up in the last minute, picking off Aaron Rodgers. Terrible day for A.A. Ron Rodgers. Admiral Ayahuasca was in a darkness retreat. Three picks today. Terrible. Brian Flores' defense doing an awesome job for the stunning 5-0 Purple People Eaters, predicted to finish last in the NFC North, and yet there they are, one of the only remaining unbeatens in the NFL.
That's
and
then, so of course, ridiculous.
You know what's ridiculous? Is when you trade for Aaron Rodgers and expect him to turn things around, and it's not really going that way. And
when I came out of the darkness, something changed.
Not the Jets' fortunes as of right now.
No.
Now, maybe this makes them go all in even further than they went all in to get Rodgers and go get Davante Adams because
where's he going, Andy? Where do you think he goes?
Well, there was the Edgar Allan Poe posting he had on Friday that everybody believed it was Baltimore. I still think the Jets make the most sense because they both learned the same lesson. Those guys leaving Green Bay, it's not always greener. Maybe if they pair back up together, they can get back to greener pastures.
Truth.
And pursue. Yeah, I don't know, but I hope that happens sooner rather than later because that's a big shoe to drop in this early NFL season.
Yeah, I would. I mean, the Jets seem to have the Jets should have the most motivation to trade for him because, you know, while Garrett Wilson had himself a nice day today, something is missing there. But then again, you try to bring in Cobb, you give him Lazard. How many former Packers, you know, you bring him as play caller who doesn't seem like he's doing that special a job. You know, how many different former Packers, how many different things are you going to give to this guy?
Well, you're kind of, what is that, I don't know. There's some cliche that tells you this. They're in. They're all in with Aaron Rodgers, so you got to keep doubling down on that, in my opinion, because the future is going to be problematic. You're not going to have a coach. You're not going to have a quarterback. You do have Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and some young talent, Sauce Gardner, to build around, but they're going to be in a strange rebuilding phase in the next year or so, too. So you got to go all in.
Something's going to get awkward there real quick, and they don't have the supposed quarterback of the future sitting on the bench. They had one. That didn't work out. They brought in the old man. That doesn't seem to be working out either. Speaking of starting the kid, we got a couple more calls on the line here. Chuck is in New Hampshire. What's up in the 603, Chuck?
You know, just misery and sorrow like everywhere else in New England. But
awesome.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, the way I kind of look at this, you know, we're talking about, you know, are things going to change? Can it be fun again? I don't think just playing Drake May is going to be the change. What really needs to happen is he needs to be good. Like, if there's nothing that we see there, like, if it just doesn't look promising, I think, you know, the physical attributes will get old real quick. We're really going to need to see him, you know, kind of be like Burrow in his rookie year before he got hurt, or, you know, just anyone else where there's the flashes. If we don't have that, it's going to get old real quick. And Andy, I think you said it a couple weeks ago. Congrats on the afternoon spot, by the way.
Thank you.
But I think you said it a couple weeks ago where it was, you know, we've become like the Chiefs against the Bucks in the Super Bowl, where we're impressed by the almost plays. Like earlier today, Polk ran a corner route and Jacoby missed him by like, I don't know, by like a step. And I was like, wow. I was like, you know, if Polk just had one more step, like I bet he would have got that. Like that would have been a great play. I created a hypothetical scenario where he made the catch, fingertip catch, and I was impressed by it. Yet none of that actually happened. Or DeMario Douglas on his knees reaching out for the ball, then he dropped it. But I was like, wow, that was a heck of an effort. Couldn't believe it. But it was still, both were incompletions. So that's how I'm doing. That's how I'm impressed, is incompletions.
We're kind of resorting to fantasies in our minds right now, which gets us through a lot of areas of life sometimes, and football is one of them right now. Right, Fitzy?
Thank you for the call, Chuck. I appreciate that. See, this is the thing that, you know, it's been part of our dialogue here, and I've said as much to the fans at the stadium as well. It's something I have come to understand. The whole escapist vibe of football, like, we work so hard all week long, we put in our hard-earned money, I just want to go someplace. Like, you could, I guess you could say the same thing about going for a hike with your family or going to the movies, like whatever it is that you like to do to get away from your reality, however you know you have to ply your trade, however grim it may be, or just the fact that you just need a couple hours away. And in our new national pastime, the most popular sport in America, people love doing this. They come together, they form the neighborhoods at the tailgates, they go in, they watch the game together without the promise of excellence and victory and superiority like we were gifted for 20 years, which created an unhealthy and impossible to replicate standard with what went on during the double dynastic run. And, you know, now, and this sort of tees up our next caller, Andy, well, came off of Chuck's call, and basically almost all the callers have been saying the same thing as well. You know, I don't really know exactly what there is to divine from these games, aside from a chance to, you know, hang out with your buddies, talk for a while, and then, hey, we can all just sort of chat and vibe over the fact that, like, hey, this team kind of sucks, huh? Yeah. Well, all right, it's the first quarter. What else are we going to talk about?
No, and you're right, because this is entertainment, and it's a getaway, and it's enjoyment. And most areas that fulfill that need, if we don't get what we're looking for, we move on, right? If you go to a restaurant and it starts sucking, don't you stop going to that restaurant? You don't continue to eat bad meals at that restaurant. You try to find a new restaurant that makes you happy on a Friday night when you go out with your wife. Or if you have a concert and you like seeing certain artists, well, when they get old and they stop entertaining, you're like, oh my God, that was embarrassingly bad. You stop going to see them. Whatever it is. Heck, my boat. This time of year, when I go out on my boat, if it starts to get cold and windy and choppy and miserable, you know what I say? Well, time to put the boat away. We're not going out on the boat anymore this year.
I'm the one who took it out and, you know, thinking I could squeeze another day out when, you know, the law of averages is going to catch up to me.
Right. But for some reason, we're five games into a season and we're supposed to continue to invest in a Patriots team that isn't entertaining, isn't enjoyable. And I know we may sound like spoiled fans, but the reality is it's entertainment. It is a product, right? You're spending money on it. And if you're not getting any return on your investment, why are sports different than anything else? Why are sports the thing we're supposed to keep doing, even though it's like pounding our head against the wall? They're not entertaining. I say it all the time. I don't need victories. I don't need championships. I don't need division titles. I don't need wild card. I don't need any of that. I need you to make me want to watch. I need you to give me something in return for my 3 hours. And I think today was the worst example I can ever remember of zero return on that investment. Lots of people at Gillette and on TV invested 3 hours of their time. And as they say in Gladiator, are you not entertained? Most certainly no one was entertained. And how often do you expect people to continue to invest their time and money, effort, Sunday afternoons into that product? It's not fair, right? And the one way you can guarantee everybody a slight blip of entertainment, I don't know how long it'll last, is Drake May. And I still do believe there is entertainment value in football. This is entertainment. I can tell you, I always use my son as the barometer. He's sort of the modern pink hat football fan. You know what he did today? Went to the basement, turned on Red Zone, had no interest in watching the Patriots.
My word. This is your son who has gone to Super Bowls, many games, like, and miserable weather and all the
loves
crap.
It loves to go to games. He has no interest in this team right now. And if you watch Red Zone, I can't imagine the Patriots made it onto the Red Zone channel too many times today. There weren't a lot of big plays scoring. It was mostly for missed field goals and blocked.
But there was a very there was it was hardly a dull roar. That was a pretty sizable din of of noise when the fans thought that Jalen Polk scored. So, like,
well,
there surely was.
They were there, and because they were holding out hope. It's why I never leave a game early. I don't know how many people left early. I'd never leave a game early, because if I'm going to invest in it, and the most entertaining thing is going to be in the final minute when Jalen Polk catches a touchdown to pull this crappy game out of the gutter and give us a victory, I'm certainly not going to be listening to it on the radio while I drive home. I'm going to see it. But you didn't even get that. that was taken away from you. Not really taken away from you. It never happened. Because I don't need to see the headline on ESPN.com that says, Mayo, correct call. I know it was a correct call. It was an obvious call. I still can't believe people don't know that rule.
Once again, the Six Rings postgame show is brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. You can find it all at McFarlandEnergy.com. Final call of the night, Andy. Brandon is in Boston. What up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So, you know, when it comes to Drake May, this notion that you can't play him because he's going to get hammered, I don't see the logic of that, because if you look at Caleb Williams with that blow up win, you know, against the Panthers, he's been sacked 17 times. So he's going through the gridiron and learning the NFL. The only person that's holding Drake May back is the head coach. I don't know if he's holding back or if it's the offensive coordinator, but you need to get him in quick. And I think the perfect time to start him would be after the Texans. You go in there, you face the Jags. You know, Trevor Lawrence got his first win. I was hoping that he would lose, so it would be more spark, you know, to have Mac Jones replace, you know, Trevor Lawrence. But I feel like, you know, they're going to get their doors blown off against the Texans, and then you just put him in week 7. You don't look back. But, I think that's how you play it from now on. He has to learn. You know, and I'll feel disrespected if I'm Drake May, because you're saying I'm a wimp and I can't play. So you're holding me back, and people are starting to think I can't play football now.
I agree. That's a good call.
Thank you for the call, Brandon.
That is a good call. There is damage that could be done to his psyche and his confidence and his sort of internal makeup and spot on this team by not playing him as well. People always want to look at the negative of playing him. They refuse to look at the positive. They refuse to think about he could actually make plays and he could actually inject some life and entertainment value into this team and learn and get experience and do positive things. They also don't. I'm with Brandon. Like, sitting on the sideline and being told you're not good enough to play. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. There is potential detrimental value in that. That's a good call. And I would play him right now. I'm not waiting. Because I do think, sort of on my entertainment rant, if I'm going to say fans deserve to be entertained, then give them Drake May at Gillette Stadium. Don't give it to the Wembley crowd over in Europe. Give it to him this week. And then he can go to Europe. And then he can just stay the damn quarterback. Because he's going to be the guy for the rest of the year. And he's not going to get hurt. All you negative Nancy Nellies.
Meanwhile, again, on the upset front, not a division game. West Coast was not the best coast today. Not only did San Francisco play poorly enough to keep the Cardinals in the game long enough for the Cardinals to shock the Niners, something the Patriots couldn't do last week. The Giants, another team that the Patriots lost to, the Seattle Seahawks, were going for the game-tying field goal. The Giants block it, return it to the house, Andy, for a touchdown. And now the Giants, well, those are two massive underdog upsets on the road. Must be nice.
And the Seahawks have now won a game because of a blocked field goal and now lost a game because of a blocked field goal.
Man, this NFL season is the most overserved of any that I can remember. Andy, geez, we only got a couple minutes left here on the show. Do you want the lone thumb up today was Christian Gonzalez on your thumbs down list that you...
I mean, if you really want me to give thumbs up, I would give thumbs up to Christian Gonzalez. I'd give thumbs up to Bryce Behringer, and I would give up thumbs up to actually Ramondre Stevenson. He ran well. He didn't fumble. I thought it was key to get that going, you know, moving in a positive direction. Although there were times where he had the ball a little loose with his chicken arm out there dangling in the breeze. So I don't say the fumbling issue is totally dead and buried. Anyway, so there's your thumbs up. Thumbs down. Keon White, who got a horse collar and a roughing the passer on the same drive. You don't see that double dip too often. That didn't help.
Wasn't it back-to-back plays, too?
I couldn't remember if it was back-to-back or if there was a play in between, but it was very close, Joe Braverman. Way too close for comfort, and it was terrible. Josh Uche, 12th man on the field on punt. That is a bad play by Uche. Jacoby Brissett, you get on the down list because, I'm sorry, you just... not hitting the throws I need you to make. Alex Van Pelt, you're on the down list because you are complicit in Jacoby Brissett's struggles, and I'd also like to know what the hell the plan was on that final play to Hunter Henry. What exactly you were thinking there? That's on Brissett in AVP. Hunter Henry gets the down arrow for the false start on the second-to-last drive when they still had a shot to win this game. The pass protection, you guys are just, it's called the ceremonial thumbs down list brought to you by the Pass Protection, because I assume you'll be there every week all year because you have been and you stink. Joey Sly, you're supposed to hit field goals. You didn't. That's hurtful. Gerard Mayo, your team didn't show up. They laid an egg. They were about as undisciplined as any team we can see. So Gerard Mayo gets on the list. Pretty much anybody involved with the Patriots gets on the down list because y'all contributed to one of the worst games I've ever seen, and I can never get my 3 hours back.
Nope, I would also like an existential refund, but sadly those are still not available. Next week, the Patriots host the Houston Texans, who will be coming in off of a couple of victories. They are 4-1 atop the AFC South, one of the better teams of the AFC. Another big test for Mayo, the growing culture, and the new-look New England Patriots of 2024. I'm sure the Texans will be heavily favored in that game. And oh boy, Nico Collins, Steph Diggs. Hey, maybe the defense will play well once again. Will the Patriots be able to bounce back from this? So see how much tape they watch this week, Andy, and how many times they look in the mirror. All right, for the Six Rings postgame show crew, Joe Braverman, Chris Scheim, who was kind enough to join us when I was a little tardy joining the party today. For Andy Hart, who's on the WEI Afternoon Show tomorrow, your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens is here. I'll be with you tomorrow night from 6 to 7:30. It's a Patriots Monday tomorrow on WEEI. Don't miss it. And now we throw you to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football. Enjoy, everybody.
See you.